بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. مكتبة الموحدين بالبحر الكاريبي يسعد تقديم الشيخ علي الوصيفي حفظه الله ورعاه في سلسلة حلقات في كتاب رد الدارمي على بش المريسي، وهذا في يوم الأحد 12 من جمادي الأول 1442 هجري الموافق 27 من ديسمبر 2020 ميلادي. موحدين Publications pleased to announce a continuation of the classes with Sheikh Ali Al-Wasifi حفظه الله ورعاه on the book of the refutation of الدارمي upon Bishr al-Marisi, and that's on the day of Sunday the 12th of Jumadi al-Awwal 1442 Hijri corresponding to the 27th of December 2020 ميلادي. فليتفضل مأجورا مشكورا.
الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه. أما بعد، قد وصلنا إلى الباب 15، باب ما جاء في أن القرآن كلام الله وأنه غير مخلوق. فقد بينا أن الكلام لا بد أن يكون متعلقا بمتكلم، أن يكون متعلقا بلفظه ومعناه بمتكلم، وليس هناك كلام مستقل، وليس هناك كلام مستقل لا يتعلق بمتعلق به، بل لابد أن يكون له متعلق يتعلق به. وهذا التعلق هو تعلق في اللفظ وتعلق في المعنى. وأهل السنة والجماعة يثبتون تعلق اللفظ والمعنى بالله سبحانه وتعالى، لا يقولون المعنى متعلق بالله واللفظ متعلق بالمخلوق، ولا يقولون اللفظ متعلق بالله والمعنى متعلق بالمخلوق، وإنما يقولون اللفظ والمعنى كلاهما متعلق بالله سبحانه وتعالى. وهكذا كل كلام فإنما هو كلام متعلق بمن تكلم به. فإذا قلنا قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، هذا الكلام خرج من الرسول وهو كلام الرسول وننسبه إلى الرسول. وإذا قلنا قال عمر، قال أبو بكر، قال عثمان، فإننا نقول هذا كلام أبو بكر، كلام أبي بكر، وكلام وهذا كلام عمر، وهذا كلام عثمان. وإذا قلنا هذا كلام أحمد وهذا كلام الشافعي، فهذا متعلق بأحمد ومتعلق بالشافعي، ولا بد أن ننسب الكلام إلى قائله. فلو قلت إن كلام الله مخلوق، فلا بد أن يكون المتكلم أيضا مخلوق، وهذا مستحيل. وإذا قلت هو غير مخلوق، فهذا هو الصحيح الثابت، لأن الله سبحانه وتعالى هو الخالق، والله عز وجل غير مخلوق. فإذا كلام الله عز وجل متعلق وصفه بما وصف به الله سبحانه وتعالى، يعني حكم صفات الله سبحانه وتعالى هو نفس حكم ذات الله سبحانه وتعالى. فإذا قلنا إن ذات الله سبحانه وتعالى متفردة بالبقاء، وأن الله هو الحي القيوم الذي لا يفنى ولا يزول، فكلام الله عز وجل أيضا لا يفنى ولا يزول ولا ينتهي ولا ينقطع، وكلام الله عز وجل لا ينقص، وكلام الله لا يعتريه نقص، وكلام الله عز وجل لا يفنى ولا يموت. فكلام الله سبحانه وتعالى صفة من صفاته، وصفة الكلام منسوبة ومتعلقة بالله عز وجل مثل صفة العلم ومثل صفة الحكمة ومثل صفة القدرة والملك والسلطان. فهل يجوز أن تقول إن علم الله مخلوق؟ لا يجوز. وهل يجوز أن تقول إن قدرة الله مخلوقة؟ لا يجوز. فكذلك لا يجوز أن تقول إن كلام الله مخلوق. لماذا؟ لأن كلام الله هو الذي تكلم به، فهو فعل وقع في ذاته سبحانه وتعالى، وقع في ذاته يعني وقع في نفسه، وقع وقوعا متتابعا في نفسه لم يكتسبه الله عز وجل من أحد من خلقه، مثل صفة العلم. فصفة العلم في ذاته سبحانه وتعالى، والله لم يكتسب علما من أحد، فهو سبحانه وتعالى متفرد بالجلال والإكرام والعلم والإحاطة. قال تعالى ولا يحيطون به علما. فالله عز وجل له الصفات الحسنى ولم يكتسب كمالا من أحد، ولم يكتسب وصفا من أحد. هذا هو كلام أهل السنة والجماعة. أما كلام الجهمية فقالوا مخلوق. أما أنصاف الجهمية فتوقفوا وقالوا لا نقول مخلوق ولا نقول غير مخلوق. وهذا نوع من التسبب توري بالتجهم. يعني هؤلاء لما وجدوا أن الجهمية الذين يقولون إن كلام الله مخلوق يتعرضون للعقاب ويتعرضون للطعن والذم من علماء الحديث والأثر، ويتعرضون أيضا لعقاب السلطان في أزمانهم كما تعرض الجهم بن صفوان والجعد بن درهم لما قتلهم خالد القسري عندما قالوا إن الله لم يتخذ إبراهيم خليلا وما كلم الله موسى تكليما، فضحى بهم الجعد بن درهم. فلما رأى هؤلاء الجهمية ما تعرض له أسلافهم من العقاب نتيجة لهذا الكلام الفاضح المخالف لكلام السلف، قالوا تستروا وقالوا لا نقول هو مخلوق ولا هو غير مخلوق. يعني وقفوا بين الجانبين. وهذا في شأن كثير من الفتن، تجد أن بعض الناس يردون على الفتن ويوضحون منهجهم، وبعض الناس يسايرون أهل الفتن، وبعض الناس يسكتون يقولون نحن إلى لا إلى هؤلاء ولا إلى هؤلاء. وهؤلاء هم المتوقفون، والمتوقفون في العادة يكونون مع أهل الباطل، يكونون مع أهل الباطل. التوقف في مسائل الاعتقاد والفتن خبث في النفس يلحق صاحبه بأهل الباطل. يعني الذين قالوا القرآن لا هو مخلوق ولا هو غير مخلوق، هؤلاء الحقوا أنفسهم بالجهمية. وطائفة أخرى قالوا ألفاظنا بالقرآن مخلوقة، وهذا هو كلام الجهمية. ومرادهم بهذا الكلام أن القرآن مخلوق. لماذا؟ لأن كلمة لفظي بالقرآن مخلوق تتضمن الفعل والمفعول. فإذا قال لفظي مخلوق فهذا يدخل فيه المقروء والمكتوب والمسطور والمحفوظ، وهو كلام الله عز وجل. فإذا قال لفظي بالقرآن مخلوق فهذا يدخل فيه المفعول، وأيضا يدخل فيه الفعل وهو حركة اللسان ومداد الأقلام وغير ذلك من الآلات والوسائل. فهي كلمة مشكلة جامعة للمخلوق ولغير المخلوق. أيضا تسطر بهذه الكلمة الجهمية، الجهمية، وجماعة قالوا القرآن من جهة معناه متعلق بالله فهو الكلام النفسي، أما من جهة لفظه فهو مخلوق. والذين قالوا ذلك هم الأشاعرة، فالأشاعرة أخذوا نصف أقوال أهل السنة من جهة المعنى فأثبتوا تعلق المعنى بالله، وأخذوا من الجهة الأخرى نصف أقوال المعتزلة وقالوا القرآن من جهة لفظه مخلوق. يبقى الذين قالوا القرآن مخلوق من الجهمية والمعتزلة يقصدون المعنى واللفظ، والذين قالوا القرآن مخلوق يعني الذي بين أيدينا المنزل الذي بين أيدينا قالوا عنه إنه مخلوق يقصدون اللفظ من الأشاعرة ويقولون أما المعنى فهو متعلق قائم بالله سبحانه وتعالى. هذه هي أصناف الذين تكلموا في مسألة القرآن. الجهمية قالوا مخلوق، وطائفة منهم توقفوا لا نقول هو مخلوق ولا هو غير مخلوق، وطائفة قالوا ألفاظنا بالقرآن مخلوقة، والأشاعرة قالوا نصفه مخلوق والنصف الآخر غير مخلوق. أما الاتحادية وهم الذين يقولون إن هذا الوجود هو الله معاذ الله وأنهم لا يفصلون بين الله وبين خلقه، هؤلاء يقولون كل كلام في الوجود هو كلام الله معاذ الله سبحانه وتعالى. أما كفار قريش فقالوا عن القرآن إن هو إلا قول البشر، وقالوا إن هو إلا سحر يؤثر، وقالوا يعني كلامهم مثل كلام الجهمية والعياذ بالله سبحانه وتعالى. تفضل.
نعم شيخ الوصيف حفظه الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بار بخطبة الحاجة: الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. thereafter we have reached the chapter number 15 in this book, and the chapter here is titled in regards to the Quran being the speech of Allah and it's not created. We have clarified before in previous classes that the speech of Allah or the speech in general must be directly connected to the speaker in the pronunciation, in the wording, as well as in the meaning. In other words, the speaker, whoever says something, whatever comes out from him must be connected to him directly in the meaning as well as in the utterance itself and the wording. There's no such thing as a speech that's separate from a speaker. There's no such thing as speech that is separate or independent of a speaker, but rather any speech must be connected again to some entity, and that entity or that connection is in the utterance of the wording as well as the meaning, in the lafz as well as in the ma'na. People of Sunnah and Jama'ah affirm that the speech is always connected to the person or to the entity that says so, in the utterance, in the wording, as well as in the meaning. And they do the same thing with the speech of Allah. The speech of Allah is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in wording as well as in meaning. And they never say, for example, that the meaning deals with Allah, but the utterance, the wording is created, deals with the creation. And they never say either that the utterance or the wording deal with the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the meaning deals with the creation, or the meaning is from the creation. So either or is not the case, but both must be connected to Allah. They always say both utterance and or wording, as well as meaning, is directly connected with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's also the case with any speech regarding any speaker. For example, if we say from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam said so and so, that tells us that whatever speech from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is from him. And so is the case when we say Umar radiallahu anhu, or Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, or Uthman said so and so. Same thing when we say, for example, Al-Imam Ahmad said so, or Imam Shafi'i said so. Whatever speech they say, the wording belongs to them as well as the meaning belongs to them. In other words, we must always connect the speech to the one who said it. Because if you say, for example, that the speech of Allah is created, وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ, then the speaker, whoever said so, must be created. So in other words, you're saying that Allah is created, and that's impossible. And if you say, just on the flip side, if you say that the speech is not created, that is actually what is authentic and what is confirmed in the Sunnah, in the religion of Islam. Because Allah is the creator. He's the one that created everything. And he's not created. So is his speech. His speech is from him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the speech of Allah is directly connected with him and described the way Allah described his speech with. In other words, the ruling of the perfect attributes of Allah is the same, takes the same ruling of the that, or the essence, or the entity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. If we say, for example, to make things clearer, if we give an example and say that the that of Allah, Allah himself, is singled out with being ever living, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-hayyu al-qayyum, the ever living, al-qayyum, that never perishes, never ends, and so on. So is the speech of Allah, never perishes, never ends, never gets interrupted, never has any deficiency, and never dies, etc., etc. Because the speech of Allah is an attribute of the attributes of Allah. And the description of the speech of Allah belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in every facet and every form. Just as all of the perfect attributes of Allah, like the knowledge, the wisdom, the qudra, the sultan, the might, the power, etc., etc. To make things a little clearer, I will give you an example again. Is it permissible to say that the knowledge of Allah is created? Of course not. That's not permissible. So is the case in regards to the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We cannot say the speech of Allah is created, because Allah spoke directly of such wording. And we're going to get a little technical here. The speech of Allah is something that happened within Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself, came from Allah himself, from his that, in a way that's uninterrupted, and he did not get that from any of his creation. Again, to make things a little clearer, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks, he speaks from himself in a way that is not interrupted in any fashion or form, and he doesn't get that, or he doesn't acquire that speech from any of his creation. The same actually applies to al-ilm or the knowledge of Allah. He's the only one, subhanahu wa ta'ala, to be singled with the knowledge. Just as he is the only one to be singled with al-jalali wal-ikram, with might and generosity and so on. To him belong all of the perfect attributes. And he never acquired any of that perfection or description from anybody. That is actually the speech of the people of Sunnah. Now on the flip side, Al-Jahmiyyah, who are of course opposing the people of Sunnah, they said, no, the speech of Allah is created. As the Sheikh said, as for half of the Jahmiyyah, or half Jahmis, if I want to say that in English, they stopped in the middle. They took a position of tawakkuf, where they wanted to be in the middle. They said, we are not going to say that the speech of Allah is created, and neither we're going to say that the speech of Allah is not created. As the Sheikh said, this is a form of cover-up. When we talk about the half Jahmis, it's a form of deception. Because the Jahmiyyah, when they said that the speech of Allah is created, they exposed themselves to so much accusations, refutations, and hatred from the people of Sunnah, as well as clarifications, of course, on top of that, from the scholars of Sunnah, as well as punishment from the leaders of the people of Sunnah, as was the case with the Jahm and Ajad when they were killed by the ruler of the Muslims at the time, because they were going around saying that Allah never talked to Musa in his speech or physically, amongst other claims, meaning denying the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the half Jahmis, as the Sheikh said, Hafidhahullah, when they found that their ancestors exposed themselves to so much refutation by the scholars of the Sunnah, as well as punishment from the leaders of the people of Sunnah, they stopped. They say, we're going to take a middle position. This actually happens so much in times of fitna, in times of trials and tribulations, to make things a little even clearer. You find, as the Sheikh said, so many people, when a fitna happens, you'll find, for example, so many of the people of the Sunnah clarifying what is wrong with that fitna based on the statements that they take from the scholars of the Sunnah. Walillah alhamdu al minna. But yet you find a few that oppose the position of people of the Sunnah. And you find those who try to be in the middle, as we call them in Arabic, mutawakifun. They stop taking sides, in other words. And the Sheikh said, those who are mutawakifun or do not want to take sides usually end up with the people of falsehood. Especially when it comes to matters of belief. So a tawakkuf, or taking the so-called middle position, if you want to refer to it in a layman term, when it comes to matters of belief, in itself is wickedness that is hidden in the nafs, in the soul of the individual. Just as those half Jahmis said, we are not going to say that the Quran is created, and we're not going to say the Quran is not created either. But the people of Sunnah were always on the lookout for them, and they attached them to their ancestors, to their forefathers of the Jahmis, from the Jahmis. And of course, what they meant by the speech, and what was clarified later on, when they showed, if you want to call it, when the true colors came out, they said the same thing as their ancestors. They said the Quran is created. Wal-iyadu billah. Because a word from the Quran, when you say a word from the Quran is created, then you are including not just the word itself, including the person that did that word, that uttered the word. You include the verb, the physical verb of speaking, and you include also al-maf'ul, which is, I believe, called the adverb in English, or the person that did the verb. And of course, that includes reading the Quran, written Quran, Quran that has been lined up in the books, memorized Quran, but all of it, keep in mind, all of that Quran, in whatever form or fashion you come across, is the speech of Allah. So if a man of bid'ah said, love the pronunciation regarding the Quran, he's including not just the verb, not the fact that this word is there, but also the person that did the or the entity that did the action. But the Quran also, once it's uttered, it includes the movement of the tongue and the writing of the pens. So that word love thee, the Sheikh said, refers to or pronounced, is actually kind of a problem when it comes to that exact word in regards to people of innovations. It becomes a problem for them, because what they mean by that, it includes the created and the not created. It includes both the created and the creator. Wal-iyadu billah. So they try to deceive the people of Sunnah and the Muslims in general, and to avoid being persecuted, if you want to call it that, as the forefathers of Jahmiya. Some took kind of an in-between position on top of this. They said that the speech of Allah from the way of meaning is so and so, and from the way of wording is so and so. Those were Asha'ira, and we're going to elaborate further on that. Al-Asha'ira took half of the definition regarding the wording of Allah, regarding the speech of Allah, from the people of Sunnah, and they confirmed that the meaning belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then took the other half of the definition for the speech of Allah from Al-Mu'tazila, and said, as for the physical pronunciation of the Quran that is created. And I hope that is clear. I know it's a little technical here. So those who say that the Quran is created, they refer to what has been revealed from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being created, and not from the creator, not belonging to the creator, and not denying the fact that it is from the creator of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is from the creator. It is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And those who meant that the pronunciation, the physical wording itself from the Asha'ira, and the meaning from Allah, was another group. And both, of course, are wrong. These, as the Sheikh said, to summarize this, these are the categories or the types of people that have talked about the different kinds of Quran, for the lack of a better way of putting it. The first group, and we're talking about people of bid'ah, of course, Al-Jahmiyyah, they said the whole Quran is created, wal-iyadu billah, whether it's wording or meaning. But then half Jahmis, as we call them, refer to them, they wanted to stop in the middle. So they said the Quran is, we're not going to say the Quran is created, and we're not going to say the Quran is created. We're not going to say the Quran is created or not created. And then another group came out and said, no, we're going to say that the physical pronunciation of the Quran is created, but the meaning is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the Asha'ira came and said, no, we're going to say half the Quran is created, and the or one half is created and the other half is not created, meaning the meaning is created but the physical wording is not created, which is the opposite of the ones before them. As for the another group on top of this that we didn't talk about earlier, Al-Ittihadiyya, the ones that believe that Allah is everywhere, that Allah is all over his creation or part of his creation, literally, وَالْعِيَادُ بِاللَّهِ. They said the speech of Allah is all over the universe. That is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Any speech anywhere in the universe is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As for the disbelievers of Quraysh, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about him in the Quran, in huwa illa qawlu al-bashar, they claimed that the Quran was nothing but the speech of mankind. And then another ayah, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about them, what it means, in huwa illa sihrun yu'thar, it is rather but magic that have been made, wal-iyadu billah. So in other words, the sheikh said, kuffar, or the disbelievers of Quraysh, were not any different from Al-Jahmiyyah, or Jahmiyyah basically based the belief upon the disbelief of people of Quraysh when Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم was sent to them.
Okay, صحيح. أنت سامع متابع ولا لا؟
متابع. طيب. نعم يا شيخنا، جزاك الله خير.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم.
وعليكم السلام.
أما بعد، فعندما ابتدع الجهمية هذا القول، وهو أن القرآن مخلوق، زعموا أن السلف لم يتكلموا في القرآن ولم يقولوا هو مخلوق ولا غير مخلوق، زعموا ذلك. وفي الحقيقة أن السلف رضي الله تعالى عنهم ثبت عنهم أنهم قالوا أن القرآن وكلام الله عز وجل غير مخلوق، وهذا الادعاء الذي ادعوا ادعاء باطل، أن السلف كانوا لا يخوضون في هذا الأمر ولا يتكلمون فيه عن جهالة، فهو ادعاء باطل، لأن السلف يعلمون الحق البين الثابت، والسلف كانوا يكرهون الخوض في هذه المسائل، ولكنهم لما وجدوا الجهمية يفصحون عن باطلهم أصبحوا في حاجة إلى إظهار معتقدات أئمة الإسلام. وهناك أمور يخشى من إظهارها أن يتكلم فيها المبتدعة وأهل الجهل والعوام بكلام لا يرضي الله سبحانه وتعالى، ولكن لما تكلم المبتدعة أصبح لا فرار من بيان الحق في هذه المسائل. ولذلك ورد عن الإمام أحمد رحمه الله تعالى أن السلف كانوا يكرهون الخوض في هذه المسائل، وقال كنا نرى السكوت فلما خاضوا أظهرنا، يعني إن سكتوا سكتنا وإن تكلموا تكلمنا، كما يقول القائل إن عادت العقرب عدنا وكانت النعال لها ظاهرة، يعني العقرب مخفية فهي وشأنها تحت التراب، لكنها إذا أظهرت السم أظهرنا لها النعال، أظهرنا لها النعال. وكل صائل معتد يخرج ونحن نعرف أنه سيبرز بالكلام الباطل فإننا نسكته قبل أن يتكلم به، لأنه صائل معتد، فإن الحياة تؤذن إذا وجدت في البيوت يحرج عليها ويعلن أنها إن بقيت في البيوت ستقتل. لماذا؟ لأنه يتوقع من وجود الحياة في البيوت أن تقتل بسمها، فنعلن لها نحرج عليها بالله ثلاثا، يعني نؤذنها ونعلمها أنها إن بقت قتلناها لأننا نتوقع منها القتل. وكذلك كل من يتوقع منه الفساد والشر فإننا نسكته قبل أن يتكلم، فإذا تكلم أخرسناه بالحجج والأدلة والبراهين وسلطنا عليه سيف السلطان ليقتص منه جراء فتنته التي أشاعها في الخلائق. أما الأئمة فقد قال جعفر بن محمد: القرآن ليس بخالق ولا مخلوق ولكنه كلام الله. وهذا ثبت عن عمرو بن دينار قال: أدركنا أصحاب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فمن دونهم منذ 70 سنة يقولون الله الخالق وما سواه مخلوق والقرآن كلام الله منه خرج وإليه يعود. وهذا الكلام ثابت بالإجماع عن السلف الصالح رضي الله تعالى عنه. يبقى إذن السلف كانوا يكرهون الخوض في هذه المسائل لا عن جهل منهم، بل هم على علم، ولكنهم لا يتكلمون في الكلام الذي هو فوق مستوى العقول حتى لا يفتن العامة، وحتى لا يتأول من يقصد البدعة والابتداع كلاما ما أنزل الله به من سلطان. ولكن لما أظهر المبتدعة كلامهم وأظهروا فتنتهم قام الأئمة لهم بالمرصاد وبينوا الحق الذي أنزله الله تعالى على نبي محمد وما كان عليه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وما كان عليه الصحابة رضي الله تعالى عنهم. فنحن نتكلم في مسألة عليها الإجماع، والإجماع يثبت الدليل والبرهان بفهم السلف الصالح رضي الله عنهم. إذا قلت أجمع الصحابة فإن الإجماع يتضمن إثبات الدليل من القرآن والسنة، ويتضمن أيضا إثبات الفهم عن الله وعن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. تفضل
شيخنا. بس فات علي كلام الإمام أحمد.
الإمام أحمد
قبل كلام عمرو بن دينار.
أي الإمام أحمد قال: كنا نرى السكوت فلما خاضوا أظهرنا.
الله أكبر. الشيخ حوض الله continued by saying بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله thereafter. As for what the Jahmiyyah have innovated in this regards that the Quran is created, which is an innovation of theirs, and they claim that the pious predecessors never talked in regards to the Quran, and they never said whether the Quran is created or not created. That, of course, was a false claim from Jahmiyyah. In reality, as the Sheikh said, Hafidhahullah, the pious predecessors confirmed, it was confirmed from them or about them, that they said that the Quran is the speech of Allah and is not created. So this false claim that came from the Jahmiyyah, that the pious predecessors never talked in this matter and never spoke about it, as we said earlier, is a totally false claim. The pious predecessors knew what the truth is, knew it clearly, and they confirmed it the way they took it from the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. At the same time, the pious predecessors hated delving in these matters. But when they found the likes of Jahmiyyah openly talking about their falsehood, then it became necessary for the people of Sunnah, for the pious predecessors, to clarify the beliefs of Islam to the people. There are matters, as the Sheikh said, حفظه الله, in belief that is feared to talk about by the past predecessors and the scholars of the Sunnah. At the same time, the scholars of the Sunnah fear that the innovators will talk about these matters of belief. And that's when, and that's why rather, when the people of innovation talk, then the scholars of the Sunnah have no choice but to refute them. As Imam Ahmad said, the past predecessors hated speaking in general. But when they saw, referring to the people of innovation, openly propagating their falsehood, then it became compulsory upon the past predecessors to clarify matters and make things clear to the Muslims. In other words, the Sheikh said, so if the innovators kept quiet, we'll keep quiet about their falsehood. And then he quoted lines of poetry that are amazing, subhanAllah, in Arabic. He said, if the scorpion came back, and for those who do not know, scorpions like to always be under the sand, but when they want to show their strength, they will stick their poisonous tip up to sting somebody passing by. So that's what is meant by these lines of poetry. If the scorpion came back, we will come back, referring to the people of innovation. If the people of innovation came back, we will come back, meaning that we, as the scholars of the Sunnah, will come back. This is all metaphorically, of course. But for the scorpion, we're going to have our shoes ready for him. Ready meaning that make sure that the scorpion knows that the shoes are there, waiting for him to kill him. Because normally, a scorpion hides under the sand, for example. But if it's stuck its poisonous tip out, then we will bring our shoes, we'll make our shoes ready to come down on it and kill it. As the lines of poetry continued, and every hiding individual full of enmity, we know that he will come out one day. As for the snakes, literally, or the poisonous snakes, I believe there's a different word for it in English, a poisonous snake, like a cobra and the like. As for the snakes, we give them a warning. If we find them in the houses, before we kill them. As the Sheikh said, from these lines of poetry, you know, for example, from the way of people of Sunnah, when you find a snake in your house, then you say Bismillah, you say the name of Allah upon the snake 3 times. If the snake afterwards leaves, so be it, leaves the house. But if the snake did not budge and stayed in the house, then you must kill that snake. A side benefit from the Sunnah, Allahumma barik. The same thing when it comes on how the people of Sunnah deal with those that they expect corruption and evil from them. They warn them first before they openly propagate their falsehood. But once they start propagating their falsehood, the scholars of the Sunnah will shut them down with proofs and evidence from the Sunnah. And not just that, but they will take their affairs back to the Muslim ruler to punishment, to punish them for what they propagate in a falsehood. As Imam Ahmad, rahimahullah, said, we used to see keeping quiet as a virtue, or we used to see keeping quiet as a trait. But when they started openly propagating, or when they started delving in affairs that they don't belong into, we had to come out and take care of them, referring to the people of innovations. It was also narrated from the way of Amr ibn Dinar. He said, we caught up to the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and whoever is left from them for almost 70 years. And whoever came after them, rather, for almost 70 years, all of them saying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator. And the Quran, the speech of Allah, including the speech of Allah, is not created. But rather, it was a speech that came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to him will return. So this is a matter that's confirmed from the way of pious predecessors. Again, we stress the point here in summary. The pious predecessors always hated to delve into certain matters, not because of ignorance from them, but because they have so much knowledge of that matter. They only withheld speaking in certain matters or particular matters because it may be beyond the levels of the intellect of the general public, for example. And they will only speak about it, meaning clarify it to the general public or to the layman of the Muslims, only from the way of refuting the people of innovations. Because when the innovators openly propagate their false speech, the scholars of the Sunnah were on the lookout for them, were literally waiting for them, and clarified the truth that our Prophet ﷺ was upon, and the companions, may Allah please with them all, were upon. And this matter, the matter of the Quran being the speech of Allah and is not created, is a matter of consensus, by the way, is a matter of ijma'. Ijma', when we say ijma', it means that we confirm the proofs and evidence with the understanding of the pious predecessors. So if we say that the companions have gathered upon an opinion that includes a confirmation of the proofs and evidence from the Quran and the Sunnah, along with understanding from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now,
Alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam ala Rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Amma ba'du. Fakalamuna ma'a al-Qur'an ithbatan لتعلقه بالله سبحانه وتعالى وأن الله الذي تكلم به لما له أيضا من آثار في الخلق أي آثار في النفس وفي القلوب الله سبحانه وتعالى يتكلم كلاما يخلق به المخلوقات ويتكلم كلاما تخشع به القلوب الله نزل أحسن الحديث كتابا متشابها تقشعر منه جلود الذين يخشون ربهم ثم تلين جلودهم وقلوبهم إلى ذكر الله لو أنزلنا هذا القرآن على جبل لرأيته خاشعا متصدعا من خشية الله وهذا لا يكون أبدا إلا في كلام الله فكلام الله عز وجل يهدي به الله عز وجل من شاء إلى الحق أفمن يهدي إلى الحق أحق أن يتبع أمن لا يهدي إلا أن يهدى الله عز وجل يهدي إلى الحق وليست الأصنام هي التي تهدي إلى الحق وليس هناك أحد يهدي أن يوفق إلى الحق إلا الله أما الهداية المنسوبة للبشر والمنسوبة للرسل فإنها هداية الدلالة والإرشاد والله عز وجل يخلق بكلمة كن إنما أمره إذا أراد شيئا أن يقول له كن فيكون ف نحن هنا نبين أن فعل الله، أن الكلام فعل من أفعال الله عز وجل، وأثر الكلام هو المفعول، هو المفعول. والمفعول قسمان، المفعول قسمان. المفعول في ذات الله من ذات الله، وهو الإتيان والمجيء والكلام والعجب والسخط والفرح والرضا، هذه كلها أفعال تقع في ذات الله عز وجل من ذات الله سبحانه وتعالى، يعني هي مفعولات تقع في ذات الله عز وجل، الله أحدثها في نفسه ولم يحدثها أحد في نفسه سبحانه وتعالى، ولذلك فهي متتابعة في ذات الله عز وجل. وهناك مفعولات تقع بكلمة كن، إنما أمره إذا أراد شيئا أن يقول له كن، يعني يقول للجبال كن، للشجر كن، للشمس كن، كل هذه مخلوقات تقع بكلمة كن، فكل ما وقع بكلمة كن فهو مخلوق لله عز وجل، وكل ما وقع في ذات الله متجددا فهو من ذات الله سبحانه وتعالى بذات الله سبحانه وتعالى. هذا هو الفرق بين المفعول الذي يقع في ذاته والمفعول الذي يقع خارج ذاته بكلمة كن. يبقى المفعول الذي يقع في ذاته اللي هو متعلق بصفاته سبحانه وتعالى، الرضا والسخط والغضب والفرح والإتيان والمجيء والنزول، هذه أفعال تقع في ذاته بمشيئته سبحانه وتعالى لم يحدثها أحد سوى. وهناك مفعولات تقع خارج ذاته بكلمة كن، إنما أمره إذا أراد شيئا أن يقول له كن فيكون. إذن إحنا بينا المفعول القائم بالذات والمفعول المستقل المنفصل عن الذات الذي يقع بكلمة كن. تفضل.
نعم، كلمة كن. شيخ حوض الله كنتين باسين، الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. thereafter. So our speech here today in regards to the Quran is to confirm that the Quran is directly part and parcel from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and is by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke of the Quran. And you see the effect or the results of the speech of Allah in His creation. You see that regarding people's hearts or the hearts of the creation, as well as the souls of the creation or a nafs of the creation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of the Quran also to create the creation. By the Quran, the hearts will be in khushu', will be in humility and humbleness. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed His speech, it was the best of His speech. It is the best of His speech that is in the Quran, that is similar to one another. The ayat or the verses in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala might be similar to one another, but yet it makes the skins of those that have khushu' in their hearts tremble from such ayat. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, what it means, if we are to reveal this Quran upon a mountain, you would see that mountain being humbled and literally breaking apart from the fear, from the extreme fear of Allah. By this Quran, by the speech of Allah, He subhanahu wa ta'ala guides whoever He wills. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, what it means, isn't it true for the one that guides to the truth have more right to be followed till the end of the ayat? Or is it the one that doesn't guide? So Allah guides to the truth. It's not the idols, for example, that will lead people to the truth. And nothing will guide to the truth except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As for the guidance that came via the prophets and messengers, it is a guidance that is called the guidance of al-dalala wal-irshad, the guidance of showing the way and indications, for example, or evidence. That is also from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But to just to distinguish between the guidance of the prophets and messengers versus, as the Sheikh said earlier, the guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, from the speech of Allah, that if He wanted to create something, He will say to it, be, and it will be, as it stated in the ayat, in that meaning. In other words, we learn that the speech of Allah is an action from the actions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the results of that speech is what is referred to in the Arabic grammar as al-maf'ul. Al-maf'ul here, and for the lack of a better word, the adverb, because it's a result of a verb, is actually, in this case, is of two kinds. And I hope you pay attention to this, especially the younger brothers and sisters, so you don't ever get confused with this, in case somebody tried to play games with you, especially those who live in the West like we do. Wallahu musta'an. Al-maf'ul, or the adverb regarding the that of Allah, there is the one kind of maf'ul, or adverb, or result of an action, or result of a verb, a result of the speech of Allah, that is from Allah Himself, by Allah Himself. For example, for that kind of maf'ul, or that kind of adverb, is the going and coming, the speech of Allah, the amazement, the wrath of Allah, the happiness of Allah, the pleasure of Allah. All of these are actions that happens inside the that of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from the that of Allah Himself, from Allah Himself. So it happens by Allah, from Allah. It means that that it happens, as I already translated, Allah musta'an, unintentionally, it happens inside the that of Allah, inside Allah Himself. Meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it happen within Himself. As we said, the pleasure of Allah, the happiness of Allah, the wrath of Allah, the amazement of Allah, or the wondering of Allah, the speech of Allah, and so on. And nobody made it happen in Allah. Nobody caused it to happen in Allah. This is why such actions, or such adverbs, sorry, such maf'ulat, are all concurrent inside Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I hope that is clear. So that's the first type of maf'ul here. That these are the kind of actions, refers to the kind of actions, or directly a result of the actions that happen concurrently within Allah Himself. Allah makes it happen within Himself subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the other results of the actions of Allah that happens by the word kun, or be. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, what it means, verily, rather, his command, if you wanted for if you wanted something to say to it, be and it will be. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can or says to the mountains or the trees or even the sun, the moon, or any of his creation, be and it will be. All of this, actually, all of the creation of Allah happened by that word, kun, or by the, by, if I want to translate that, be. The verb be, be. So they were created for Allah, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But again, anything that consistently, concurrently, on a continuous basis happening inside Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the that of Allah, it is from the that of Allah, by the that of Allah. So that's one kind, okay? And that's the difference, as the Sheikh said, between al-maf'ul, or the adverb, for the lack of a better word here, or the result of an action that happens inside Allah himself subhanahu wa ta'ala, and a maf'ul, or an adverb, or a result of an action that happens outside the that of Allah through the word kun, or be. Examples again, to make things clearer. Al-maf'ul, or a result of any, or an adverb in the that of Allah, is, for example, al-rida, the pleasure of Allah, al-farah, the happiness of Allah, al-sakhat, the wrath of Allah. And they all happen by the will of Allah, and nobody had anything to do with it except Allah himself. And they are the other kind, as we said, maf'ul, that happens outside the that of Allah by the word kun, or be. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about himself in the Quran, verily, his command, if you wanted to do something, or if you wanted something, he would say, be and it will be. So I hope this is clear. There are two different kinds of maf'ul, and we keep saying the word maf'ul to make sure that you get it in the Arabic sense. So no confusion here happens, I hope. And maf'ul, that is established by, all by itself, all by himself, meaning by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and is maf'ul, that is independent, that is established by the word kun. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. Now.
الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أما بعد فهناك أمران متعلقان بما تقدم من الأفعال التي تقع في ذات الله عز وجل و تكون مفعولاتها في ذاته سبحانه وتعالى والأفعال التي تقع أيضا في ذات الله عز وجل وتكون مفعولاتها خارج ذاته فالمفعولات التي تقع في ذات الله عز وجل بمشيئته سبحانه وتعالى هي أزلية قديمة بلا ابتداء أن لفظ القديم لفظ مجمل ولكن السلف عندما يطلقون لفظ القديم متعلقا بالله عز وجل فإنهم يقولون قديم بلا ابتداء بلا ابتداء ليس هو القديم المتجدد كما هو مذكور في قول الله والقمر قدرناه منازل حتى عاد كالعرجون القديم يعني كالعزق المنحني يعني القمر يكون في أول نشأته هلال رفيع ثم يكبر حتى يصل إلى التمام فكلمة العرجون القديم يعني الذي كان كاملا ثم تناقص وتناقص حتى صار كالعرجون رفيعا ملتويا فهذا يطلق على القديم المتجدد لكن الله عز وجل عندما تقول قديم تقول قديم بلا ابتداء وهذا بمعنى الأول بمعنى الإيه الأول فالأفعال التي تقع في ذات الله سبحانه وتعالى الأفعال التي تقع في ذات الله أزلية ليست منفصلة عن الله حتى تقول إنها مركبة، بمعنى أن الله عز وجل يرضى ويسخط ويغضب ويفرح ويغفر ويخلق ويعطي ويمنع ويعز ويذل ويعجب ويفرح وغير ذلك من الصفات. هذه الصفات قديمة في نوعها ولكنها متجددة في أحدها، يعني تظهر في وقت دون وقت وهكذا، لكنها قائمة في ذات الله أزلا كالصفات الأزلية، العلم والقدرة والإرادة وغير ذلك. الصفات الفعلية صفات أزلية، والصفات الذاتية صفات أزلية، ولكن الفارق أن الصفات الذاتية دائمة الظهور والصفات الفعلية تظهر إذا شاء الله أن تظهر وهكذا. هذا هو الأمر الأول، يعني الصفات القائمة بذات الله عز وجل التي تقع بذات الله ليست مخلوقة، لا تفنى ولا تزول ولا يعتريها نقص ولا يعتريها ضعف ولا تنتهي أبدا. أما المفعولات التي تقع بكلمة كن فهي مخلوقة، وهي يعتريها نقص ويلحقها فناء وموت وزوال، يعني كل مخلوق تحت العرش فإنه يفنى ويزول بأمر الله سبحانه وتعالى وينتهي ويتعرض للنقص والضعف والمرض والوهن وهكذا تتغير به الأحوال. فكل مخلوق لا بد أن يكون فيه نقص حتى يكون الكمال ظاهرا لله وحده. الله عز وجل قد تفرد بالكمال وليس لأحد من مخلوقاته أن يشابهه في الكمال ذاتا وصفاتا وفعلا. أما المخلوقات كما قلنا فإنها تفنى وتزول. هذا هو الفارق بين المفعولات التي تكون خارج ذات الله والمفعولات التي تقع في ذات الله سبحانه وتعالى. نحن سننتهي بهذا القدر في هذا الموطن حتى نتكلم عن جميع الشبهات المتعلقة بهذا الباب في اللقاء القادم إن قدر الله عز وجل لنا البقاء واللقاء سبحانه وتعالى. فإن شاء الله تعالى نتكلم بالتفصيل الواضح المفسر عن حقيقة تلك الفرق المنحرفة والرد عليها بمنهج السلف الصالح رضي الله تعالى عنهم وأرضاهم. وصلى اللهم على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم، والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله. بارك الله فيك يا شيخنا. طب ممكن تبقى معنا يا شيخنا بس إذا استشكل علي حاجة اسأل فيها ولا تأخرت؟
لا بتفضل.
جزاك الله خير.
بتفضل.
طيب شيخ عبد الله كنت بايسين الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله thereafter. So there are two matters here that deal with what we just mentioned earlier regarding the actions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The actions of Allah that happens inside the that of Allah within himself, within Allah himself, and the maf'ul of that, or the result of that action might end up still within Allah himself or might end up happening outside Allah himself. As for the results of the actions of Allah that happens inside Allah himself, these actions are forever lasting and is as old and is very old without any beginning. And we're going to explain what that means. Because when the Salaf, when the past predecessors ever talked about anything to deal with the attributes of Allah, and they said these attributes are old, it's a general term that might be taken out of the context. So they always said is old without any beginning, as Allah Himself. In other words, when they refer to any of the attributes of Allah being old, that means that it never had a particular beginning. It never started somewhere. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's of course in contrast to the creation of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to clarify this even better, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran what it means, and as for the moon, we have destined certain positions for the moon throughout the month of the lunar calendar until it returns as al-urjun, the old urjun, and we're going to explain what that means. As you probably know, the moon throughout the lunar month goes from one phase to the other, from a full moon down to a crescent. So when the moon is full in the middle of the month, the Arabic month or the Islamic month, then at the end of the month it becomes like al-urjun. It becomes very thin and twisted. It has a curve to it, if you ever looked at the crescent. And that's in reference to the fact that the moon, being a creation of Allah, is constantly changing. In Arabic, we call it mutajaddid. It goes through from one phase to the other. And that's in contrast to the attributes of Allah Himself. As for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when we say that the attributes of Allah is old without any beginning, we're referring to Allah being Al-Awwal. He was the first, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the actions that happen in the dhat of Allah are azaliyah, are everlasting and not separate from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The actions, again, that happens in the dhat or inside Allah Himself, subhanahu wa ta'ala, are everlasting and not disconnected from Allah in any shape or form. As the Shaykh said, Hafidhahullah, and gave us examples. Allah, for example, yafrahu, yani Allah is happy, is pleased, creates, He gives, He withholds, He humiliates, He honors, He's amazed or wonder, wonders. And other than that, from the attributes that are qadima, that are old without any beginning, regarding that category. But each one of those, pay attention to that point, each one of this attribute by itself is changing. Meaning, it happens at a particular time and it may not happen at another time. But when it comes to, for example, the kind of attributes that are always the same, we refer to the attributes of knowledge, the attributes of al-Qudra, the capabilities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or the power of Allah. As the Sheikh said, as-sifat al-dhatiyya wal-fi'liyya, or as-sifat that belongs to Allah, or within Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Himself, regarding the dhat of Allah, as well as regarding the actions of Allah, is always happening. I take that back, I'm sorry. As-sifat al-dhatiyya, the attributes, the perfect attributes within Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is always happening. But as-sifat al-fi'liyya, the perfect attributes regarding the actions of Allah, is only happens when Allah wants it to happen. So I hope that is clear. شيخنا ممكن بس أسأل نقطة توضيح هنا لعل أكون أخطأت أنا والله مستعان مسألة أن الصفات قديمة في نوعها ولكنها متجددة في أحادها شيخ علي معنا بدأ لز الشيخ شيخ علي We're going to go back to the Sheikh just to stress that point because it's very particular, very, very intricate here. طيب, we're going to continue until the sheikh comes back in the line. So the attributes of Allah are not created, and they never perish, they never end, and so on, and have no beginning. And they never have any deficiency, any weakness, etc. at all. As for the results of such attributes that happens by the word from Allah, kun, or be, as the results of the commands of Allah, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands something to be and it will be, the results of that may have will have deficiency and will have an end, because it's created. Because every created being under the throne of Allah will end by the permission of Allah when Allah wants it to end. Every created being under the throne of Allah is liable for weakness, fatigue, disease, illness, etc., etc. In other words, every creation must have some deficiency, because only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala belong the perfection. And He's the only one subhanahu wa ta'ala to be singled with such perfection. And nothing is ever to resemble Him subhanahu wa ta'ala in His essence, in His that, or His perfection, or His actions, or of course in His most beautiful names and perfect attributes. So this difference, the Sheikh said, regarding the results of the actions of Allah, or the maf'ulat, what's been done in the that of Allah and outside the that of Allah, must be distinguished, must be kept in mind. And to this point, the Sheikh said, we're going to stop today. And inshallah ta'ala, if Allah wills for us to stay alive till next time and meet one another, we will talk about all the different doubts that deals with such matters. بإذن الله تعالى إن شاء الله we'll talk in great detail, the Sheikh said, in a clear way, about the reality of the deviated groups and how the pious predecessors refuted them in such matters. And I don't know if we can get the Sheikh back. I can see his number. Can you call the Sheikh back? Are you there? We might have to go over the one single point that I mentioned earlier, because it seems like it's going to be one of the doubts. Allah a'lam. Sheikh just passed by it. Tayyib. To conclude for today, I say as a translator, anything that I said that is correct as a translator is only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And anything that I said that is not correct is only from myself and or from the shaitan. And again, as I said last time, I say to each and every brother and sister who's been making dua for me and my family after we got sick, Jazakum Allah khair, may Allah bless you, and may Allah protect you from what we have been afflicted with. Walhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.